I always write the third fraction down on the racing form. I do it by hand, by eyeball. Then I confirm it with a hand computer because sometimes I can't subtract 71 from 110 or whatever the things happen to be. So I make sure I did it right. I always wrote it down. And Tom Hamilton one day said, "Why do you do that?" "I want to see if this horse can finish the race." "Oh, what is that? That's a third fraction, Tom." And it was like this marvelous thing. He just rediscovered the wheel. And so he said, "Well, I'm gonna put that into a rating system. Put down the ratings, and I'm gonna start using that." Well, lo and behold, he would win things he couldn't win before, and so suddenly the third fraction came into existence as if it had never existed before. And computer programs were written with a third fraction rating, things that we use in phase one, which all of you happily escaped. And it became just a marvelous tool. And then, as usual with a tool, people overworked it. People were talking to me today about putting a valid program in their computer, such as the engine. But the guy said, "I'd have to take my third fraction rating out." Folks, that's advancing into to the rear using the third fraction rating. You've got the third fraction in all of your readouts. Do you use the third fraction precisely as we told you to use it in your engine? You will model the types of races that you're doing by high, low, and average, and you will say at the higher level, a 49.90 has not won in 50 races. You'll play percentage baseball that it won't win for 50 more. Now, the first time you do that, of course, it'll come in and win. You must respect Mr. Murphy, but you must not be dominated by Mr. Murphy's law. You are going to have an exception in every situation. The losing handicapper, just a second, Joe, I'll get with you. The losing handicapper says, when he has one failure, says, "Oh, that don't work," and abandons it. Play the percentages. Now, don't use 49 as you, for your track. Find out what a third fraction, what the parameters of a third fraction have to be, and use it. And that's its only value. Yes, Joe, you had your hand up?
If you would have used the third fraction program in today's sixth race, you would have got Fast Play. He had a phenomenal third fraction. It was just unbelievable, and it was, because his median was 66 and change on a 7-furlong race at Saratoga. And they don't win. But he did play. Houston won the race. And if you would have used just your third fraction program, you're losing.
That's a problem, getting carried away by any one thing. Thanks, Joe, for that information. You get carried away by something, and last night it was pointed out by both Tom and Jim Bradshaw that you've got the race starts at the starting gate, and you can't depend on the third fraction as a entity by itself to do anything for you. The third fraction is there primarily for you to know whether an early horse can go all the way. Now, Tom Brohammer pointed out something very important. When a horse makes that move on the turn, he will usually sustain it to the end of the race, and in so doing, cause the inveterate early horse not to run the third fraction he ran last time. So if you go by the third fraction, and you have a last time race where the horse got a good lead and sustained it to the end, you have to take into consideration what Jimmy's going to be talking about. What is the matchup? Will that horse be allowed to run that fast or that slow a third fraction by today's matchup? The primary use of the third fraction is is in determining whether the early pace horse can win the race. You've got an early pace horse, and by designation, the horse has to go wire to wire if he has to have the lead at the second call. If he has a lead at the second call, can he has to at least go wire to wire from the second call to the finish. So essentially, that horse must sustain himself to win the race if he's leading at the second call. He has no choice. He has no alternative. He can't press the pace. He's going to come in second or third if he presses it from then on. So what you say is this horse has run X second call, and when he runs an X second call, when he wins, what is his third fraction? You said the race is going to run today in 45 and 1, and you project it like 110 and 2 or 110 and 3. So you look, here's where your pluses and O's come in. You look to see what third fraction that lead horse got away with when winning. He's probably got maybe two or three wins on there when he has the lead, and he's got five or six losses when he had the lead. So you say, okay, when he won, his best third fraction was 26 and 2. But today we have pressers in this race who are two lengths behind him, and they run 24 and 4 and 25 and 2. Now, who's going to win this race? If they're only two lengths behind him at the second call and they're pressing, and the turn time tells you, for phase three users, the turn time tells you whether the horse is pressing or not. If he's pressing and he's catching up to this horse and he can run a third fraction, three or four fifths better than that horse does when it won, then you have to say he can't go all the way in this, today's matchup. He went all the way when he could get away with running a 26 and 2 or whatever it was. That's how you use the third fraction. What does this horse close in when he does well, when he wins the race? And if he's getting away with 26 and 2s and 27s and he can't get away with it today, what are you going to say? Are you going to close your eyes and say, well, but early speed wins most of them, so I'll play him? No. You say this horse cannot hold on to win the race. I can hold on to place, he may show, but he cannot hold on if the pressers, this is why pressers win most of the races, because they press that horse, just as you saw in the Easy Goer thing today, they press that horse with the full knowledge, at least they hope they have the full knowledge, that a horse, if they chase him, he's going to die. They press him, he'll eventually die because he used up too much energy early. So you can't just use your percent median to determine this, because the percent median must be balanced by the horse's total picture. A 70% median by that, what's that Olympic horse name, Tom?
Olympic Prospect.
Olympic Prospect has so much total energy that Olympic Prospect could run a 70 plus, and this horse may not be familiar to you, but that kind of horse who runs fast and early. Bob Johns, that's one of yours? Okay. Fast and early. But a horse that runs early with a bad third fraction is a sucker for a presser. So bear that in mind. That's the only way you use the third fraction. Don't be picking out the best third fraction and expecting it to win. Now, the best third fraction will surprise you in how well. Two kinds of horses place and show. Horses with inordinately fast early and horses inordinately fast late. So if you're looking in the show area or the trifecta area or the exacta area, yes, the third fraction is far more important for place horses and show horses by itself, but never use it by itself to pick winners or you're going to end up missing by a hair. You have to put it in concert with the second call. And you have to put it in concert with what that horse closes in when it wins. Now, if the horse, when it wins on the lead, closes in 24 and 4, you got it made, but then it's going to pay 320. But remember always in your heart that the true statistic is by our definitions, we're not quarreling with Quirin's statistic because it's based on his definition. But our definition of early pace is not first, second, or third, or within three lengths of the leader. Our definition of early pace is the horse that runs the fastest first two fractions. Another little tip for you, if you're using synergism, fold over the page before you get to the sort, and don't read the sort first. Read those fractional readouts. There's where your value of synergism lies. Giving you a picture of the race adjusted by its own process. Look at those three fractional times relative to the dream race. Why does a variant, some of you are Huey Moll fans in his variant. He uses super horse, but what could be a better super horse than the best three fractions owned by the horses you put into the computer? That's the super horse for each race. So compare everybody to super horse and see our super horse, our dream race horse, and see how they run. The most dangerous sign is a horse that starts losing on the turn. He still may be number one early, but if he starts decelerating very fast on the turn, this is your early horse just dying to be beat. The early horse who lays off on the first fraction and makes his move in the second has enough energy usually to sustain that to the end. Now, if he has a miserable closer used the time, he's still a strong bet. The strongest bet in racing, for long shots especially, it goes counter to everything we've said. It's contrary to what we've said. A horse that owns the first two fraction and dies badly. That's a strong move. And where is it the strongest? It's when the horse takes a substantial class drop after running on the lead and then dying, losing by 8-9 lengths, and then is dropped in class. They'll fool you many, many a time. And how you know when they're going to win the next time is subject to a lot of discussion and is not something you can pinpoint. But it's the strongest sign in racing if the horse is going to pay a lot of money. It's so wonderful to go to Las Vegas because you can throw that horse into a three-horse quinella, and every time he continues on after owning those first two fractions, you've got the quinella, and usually it's a big one. But there's a book called Fast and Fit Horses by Bob Hayburn here in New York, which the subject is that. So if you want to get that from Amtrak, I don't recommend a lot of books, especially by people who are not going to mention me in their books. But this guy, this is a very good move. So if you get that book, you can get it through Amerpubs. The thing that Ray Talbot's body still, they got his body in the back office there. It is a very strong move, and the way I play it is when it's a drop in class, he's had those two good fractions a couple of times, and he always dies when he drops in class. Tom, you got anything to add to that particular move?
No, I just agree with it.
Got it. You know, I hold my breath waiting for Tom to say things like that. But what I would add, it's one of those imponderables. You can't always tell. It's not going to happen every time. But when it happens, if there's a price on that horse, I never leave him out. I might even make a third bet on him. That's a very strong move, especially with a class drop. Yes, sir. Okay, you've got a horse. We've been bitten by these before. Tom did a race in Beaumont in which we looked at it, we considered it, and they said, well, no, not today. Well, this happened to be the day he did it. And one guy in the audience had it and paid $27. A horse, it's got two races, maybe only one, but usually there are two signs of it. He just goes out to the lead in the first two fractions. Or even maybe ahead in the lead, that type of thing. And then he goes kaplooey. 8 lengths he loses by. But then you go back to his past performance chart and you see maybe he's only won 3 times with this pattern. So try to find something in those winds that demonstrates that he can go all the way today. Either his form cycle, and usually a drop in class will handle it, and if he's running against horses that aren't real strong finishers. But that's the strongest move in racing, and almost always it'll pay money. If he doesn't do it very often. If he does it every fourth race, or every third race, then people are going to expect him to do it. But if he does it just once or twice, it's a very strong move to watch for. The funny story goes with that. We were doing it in Omaha. I said, don't leave out this horse. If you play trifecta, this is a trifecta race. Boy, don't leave this horse out. If you're going to play an exacta, don't leave this horse out. So I bet him, most people got the hint. Not trying to tell him, pick horses for him. So I said, you had that, didn't you? This one guy wasn't doing too well. No, you said not to leave him out of a trifecta exacta. I didn't play a trifecta exacta. I'm trying to hint to these people. Put this horse in. He paid $27. Now, anything more than don't leave this horse out would have been a tip, being make me a huckster, a tipster, and I didn't want to be that. But he didn't get it.
Howard, there's one add feature on that kind of a pattern is when it's the horses, that race that is your key to that pattern is the first race after a layoff. A lot of times he'll show those good early and then die, be dropping in class, second or third time back. That's when it'll kick in.
Right. Try to find, go back to the last time it won with that pattern and see what it preceded that winning race with. And if the circumstances exist today that existed in that preceding race. Let me open your horizons to something. Dick Schmidt, the only time I ever ran through a crowd of seminar people and yelled, we got a lock for a second, was when Dick Schmidt found a horse that in its bottom two races, 10 races back, had the precise pattern as the two races preceding today. Precise pattern. And he placed. So while this happened to be a trifecta race, and an exacta in Omaha, and most people, when I said lock, I should never do that, but it did place, just like we said it would. He went out by 14 lengths, and somebody caught up with him and nipped him at the wire, but he keyed a huge exacta and an even bigger trifecta, $3,000 trifecta. And our more bold people had the trifecta, and everybody's kissing Schmidt and myself, and
yeah.
All we had was the...
Can you give me that? For $3,000, it's a lot you'd kiss, Tommy.
Oh, boy.
The real Dick Schmidt has emerged.
Oh, whose name are you going to use in his place in the book?
He's right. I know.
Any of this material you want to use in the book, Tom, for these humorous outbursts, just put them in there. So does anybody have any questions on the use of the fractions? Trip handicap with those fractions, folks. Learn the meaning of each of those three fractions. If you can designate an early horse with your ESP, if you know that a horse never wins except when he has the lead at the first two fractions or is within a nose or neck or whatever, then you know darn well that that horse has to go wire to wire to win. So the first question should come to your mind is, can this horse go wire to wire? Well, your fractional readouts will tell him whether you can go wire to wire or not. Yes, Danny.
Doc, if they want to see that pattern that you just talked about this last week at Del Mar, first race, I believe it was Monday, did that exact thing, $14.
We're in New York now, Danny.
Well, don't they have it out here?
No, they don't get our form out here.
It's not in that thing?
No, we get theirs there. It shows their influence.
The most remarkable example for those of you who have some back form. This is an easy one to remember, too. On the 4th of July, the first race at Monmouth, it was a turf race. And if you had been running a track profile the day before, on July 3rd, there were 4 turf races, all of which were won by horses who were literally on the lead at the second call and had 32%, for those of you using energy, or 52.5 plus third fractions. They also had median energy in the 67. That's the most unusual combination in all of racing. A horse on the lead with a 67% median. It's rare. And if you go through that first race at Monmouth, you will see two horses just jumping off the page. If you run them through the engine, you see they're the only two horses in the race who meet that third fraction potential. Senorita Margarita, unfortunately, the 4-5 favorite, nicked the second horse, who was the only other horse to meet the profile, was French Muff, who was second at 18-1. And they literally had 4 or 5 lengths on the rest of the field. That's one of the clearest, that will be coming in a manual soon. But that's one of the clearest examples. Well, 91 is soon.
Bro ever rides faster than you do. Who are you coming up to get communion, or did you want to contribute something?
No, I just wanted to add on to your point. The example that Dan's choosing is the one that you read the other day in the third time part of the manuscript.
Oh, that's we do have that.
Yeah, we do have it. Teacher Trump is the name of the horse. Folks, when you're talking about how dangerous that horse is, just always recall when the horse hits that second call in command of the race, 2/3 of the race is over. That's what makes them so dangerous. They're always dangerous if they're in front at the quarter pole. Always a threat to win or be first or second anyway. Just keep in mind that that's where that occurs. And they're tough to beat a lot, most of the time. Well, I'm trying to get that out of my mouth.
Stay away from Belmont.
Yeah, I better.
Any questions on this area of how to interpret these fractions and why you shouldn't take? If you're going to take one fraction as your most as your key fraction, use turn time. Yes.
Have you found the horses with the that have the last two fractions as their highest fraction? Have you found any correlation with them winning in certain types of races?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a good point. Any horse that owns two fractions of the Dream Race is dangerous. So you say, which two are the best? Well, in a sprint, the first two are the best, confirming what Tom just said. In a route, the second two are the best, which is why if that race that Andy Beyer printed had been a route, I would have taken horse D. And I would have taken him as a place horse in the sprint, regardless. Horses that own the two of the Dream Race fractions, regardless of which two, are in the money such a prodigious amount of the time that if you wanted to make a show parlay, which I know Mark is very high on, if you want to make show parlays or even place parlays, these are the horses to use them. When they own two of the Dream Race fractions, that has been a sign of extreme danger. In our energy program, we have what we call paragons, and our paragon B horse that owns two Dream Race fractions is almost an automatic trip to the bank. But you want the earlier fractions are more dangerous to win in a sprint, but also very, very applicable to the place in the sprint. And owning the last two is almost tantamount to victory in a route. Any other questions on this area? Study those three fractions and see what they mean in terms of, just do a little regression on them. See what they mean and you'll see. You'll see a horse that loses ground in the second fraction is not a good bet. A horse that gains in the second fraction is a good bet. Then there's the V horse. Ray Talbot had A horses and B horses. We got a V horse. A V horse is a horse that dips in the second fraction and comes on again in the third. If you learn to read patterns, that's why we have those graphs. In some of our programs, you learn to read those patterns, and your handicapping will improve. You should use that circular thing I did in the follow-up.